Ka. It means holy worship. Join me, your host, Robert Randall, as we delve into biblical instrumentation and music history to discover the sounds behind the words of our Savior, Yeshua, Messiah.
Hi, Yeshua Messiah. It is I, your host, Robert Randall, coming to you from the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains of Colorado Springs. Welcome to Season 3 of Holy Worship, the Music of the Bible. Understanding the words behind our Master, Yeshua the Messiah. I want to thank you all for listening to the show on Hebrew Nation Radio, Intervision.fm, on Live 365 app, as well as those who have listened to the podcast on all major platforms. Thank you for your stars, hearts, likes, and reviews of all the episodes and your feedback. We are continuing Season 3 of our journey into Israelite music and culture. Today we're going to be talking about a very unique set of instruments. These are probably the oldest instruments ever found in Israel. Now, these do not have anything that pertains to the temple instruments. However, we are going to be talking about the temple and its structure in terms of how musical instruments were stored. And we are going to be looking at that in a bit more detail here in just a moment. But first, all of these articles, by the way, I'll have linked in the podcast notes. So you'll be able to go over these in detail. Basically, the article is titled Oldest Wind Instruments Recently Found in Israel. This was just posted today, and this is by the crew at Patterns of Evidence. If any of you have seen the Exodus movies by Tim Mahoney, that is who put these particular articles that I've seen out here. So, the flutes are made of bone. Archaeologists in Israel have discovered the oldest instruments ever found in the Middle East, dating back thousands of years ago to the earliest humans, constructed from the wing bones of small ducks. The tiny flutes sound mimics the calls of local birds of prey, and many have been used for communication, hunting, or making music. They may even have an intriguing biblical connection. Excavations were done at the Hula Lake Basin of the Upper Jordan Valley, at Einan Malacha in northern Israel, by F.R. Vala and H. Kahalali. Between 1996 and 2005, the dig yielded over 1,112 bird bones in a layer of sediment associated with the Natufian agricultural culture, long before the period of the biblical patriarchs. The bones were found in small stone dwellings, hearths, and graves. About 75% of the birds found were a type of wintering waterfowl. However, another distinct and separate group of almost 14% were birds of prey, which were often hunted for their talons. Talons were used as tools for ornamentation. Only recently, upon further detailed examination, 7 of the bones were discovered to be flutes, also called aerophones, aerophones. While studying the bones at Hebrew University, Dr. Laurent Davin noticed tiny holes drilled at regular intervals in some of them. The holes had initially been seen by experts, but dismissed as just natural wear and tear of the fragile bird bones. But closer inspection revealed the precise holes were clearly made by humans. Davin was also located carved mouthpieces on the ends of the petite flutes. Waterfowl Eurasian, coot, and teal. The remarkable flutes were made from the bones of small duck-like water birds known as Eurasian coot and teal. They are found at the site where bird hunting supplied a large portion of daily diet. And they show pictures of some of these birds. And it says here, the ancient instruments had 1 to 4 holes bored into their sides. Micro-CT scans performed on the bones determined that the holes were indeed carved for a person's fingers to cover them to change the sound, similar to present day flutes. All 7 flutes have noticeable wear patterns, evidence from their considerable use. Small traces of red ochre were discovered on the largest flute, most likely for decoration. There was also a worn out spot indicating where the flute may have hung from a string or a strap of leather. 6 of the delicate instruments were found as fragments, while astonishingly, one was discovered whole, measuring 2.5 inches long. One of the flutes was discovered complete. So far as is known, it is the only one in the world in this state of preservation, explained researchers. Dr. Davin and Dr. Hemundi Kahalile, in a statement sent to the IFL, to IFL.science. The purpose of these instruments, using the wing bone of a modern female mallard, researchers created a precise replica of the complete flute in an effort to study how it was played and the range of sound it could create. It was found that it made three high intense frequencies which mimic the calls of particular birds of prey still common in that region. Through technological use, where taphonomic, experimental, and acoustical analysis, we demonstrate that these objects were intentionally manufactured to produce a range of sound similar to raptor calls and whose purposes could be at the crossroads of communication, attracting, hunting prey, and music making, wrote the researchers in a new study published in the journal Scientific Reports. Replicas produce the same sounds that the hunter-gatherers may have used years ago, said Davin and Kahalile. We therefore believe that the Einan Malacha aerophones were made to reproduce the calls of the valued, common, kestrel and sparrow hawk. Researchers speculated as to the purpose of these raptor parroting flutes, discussing whether they may have been used to lure raptors to within capturing or hunting distance for their talons. If the flutes were used for hunting, then this is the earliest evidence of the use of sound in hunting. This discovery provides important new information on hunting methods and supplements, the various prehistoric tools that marked the start of the transition into agriculture and the civilization of plants and animals in the southern Levant, said Kahalile. Exploration of this possibly led to the reality that it would have only attracted a small set of species, and the conclusion that such a tactic would have lacked effectiveness. Instead, the team theorized that possibly imitative bird calls were integrated into Natufian musical or dancing practices. In many other cultures where birds play an important role, bird calling often plays a part of the community's music. The Hula Valley is still an important passageway for birds migrating between Europe and Africa, with an estimated 500 million birds flying through the valley each year. Einam and Mahalia inhabitants would have relied on the annual bird migration, as well as the birds who live there all year round, playing an important role within both the society and its music. Talons are mentioned in the Bible, with the famous account of King Nebuchadnezzar being humbled by God for taking credit for the glory and the power of his kingdom. The talon-like nature of his fingernails signified his beast-like character as part of his humiliation, what some would call lycanthropy. And that's in Daniel chapter 4, verse 33. If you want to read the whole chapter of Daniel 4, you can do that. And if you want more information on the woodwinds, listen to season two of Kadosh Shaka, Holy Worship, Understand the Music of the Bible. There is another option that was not considered by the authors of the study. Since these flutes were meticulously crafted to mimic the high frequency calls produced by just two particular raptors species, the common kestrel and sparrow hawk, they may not have been well suited for music. Might these flutes instead have been used for falconry, the ancient art of training raptors to hunt wild prey, such as rabbits, quail, and ducks for humans? Whistles producing high-pitched tones are used in modern falconry. This includes calling to the raptor from long distances, causing it to swiftly return to the master's command. The numerous talons found could represent memorials of trusted hunting partners after their years of service were over. Perhaps a paradigm that discounts falconry existing in as ancient a period as these finds kept scholars from making this essential connection. Intriguingly, the Bible may refer to falconry in this passage from Yeshayahu, Isaiah. Remember the old former things of old, for I am El, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purposes, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. The section, it relates to Babylon and speaks of the coming judgment that God will bring about in 150 years after Isaiah penned these verses. The lands of the Medes and the Persians lay to the east of Babylon, and they would swoop in to overthrow Babylon in a most unlikely manner in 539 BC. To emphasize the speed of this God-ordained conquest, the passage compares it to calling a swift bird of prey, as with flutes, whistles in falconry. Additionally, historians note that the standard horn, that the standard borne by Persian kings, was a golden eagle with wings outspread. This helps us better to understand the passage and the fact that falconry was known at the time of Isaiah. The latest findings from Hula Lake show that it may have been known much earlier. Whatever the purpose of the ancient flute served, they are the earliest sounding devices ever discovered in the Levant, framed within the wider context of human development. In the Middle East, the researchers explained that it is now clear that the evolution of music was more branched than we supposed before. More importantly, these finds can help us better to understand the lands and even the writings of the Bible. All right, so that ends the article. So what are we to make of this? What are we to say about this civilization that on one hand focuses on Israel and the most ancient instrument that's been found there, but on the other hand, it goes outside of the scope of what we cover here on this show. It doesn't focus technically within a biblical worldview. What are we to make of this? Well, the typical messianic today will cry out, pagan! This is paganism! Paganism everywhere! Okay, well, that's fine, but I would say stop for just a moment and consider the fact that Abraham's circumcision was part of an ancient Canaanite pagan ritual that God used as a lesson to teach him. And so I would kindly ask that you stop with the paganism bantering for the time being. I want you to step back for a moment and take into account that What we are discussing is essentially a culture and a civilization that most likely had no knowledge of Yehovah. They had no interaction with the patriarchs. Did they possibly have interactions with Canaan, with Jabal, who gave us musical instruments in Genesis chapter 4? Possibly. We don't know. We can only speculate. We can only go by the work that these scientific researchers, whether they're Christian or evolutionists, say what you will about macro or microevolution, as bogus as such theories are on the foundation of chance, as bringing about life from the goo to the zoo to me and you, these people invested 10 years of their lives to bring us this information, whether you agree with their beliefs or not. The point being is that we need to appreciate the work for what it is, because it does expound our worldview from a musical perspective in terms of ancient music, and it gives us a broader picture than just Israel. It says there were other people in the land prior to Canaan using these instruments, whether they were for jubilation or worship or, you know, calling out fowl for hunt or falconry, which I appreciated the author of this patterns article for providing that insight, because I'm not a hunter, so that didn't even cross my mind. But it's a very wide possibility. I tend to take the hunter-gatherer argument. I tend to side on that, just because it tends to make more sense for a primitive culture in that regard. But what did these instruments sound like? What did the flute sound like? I'm going to play some of that for you here in just a moment. So that's one example of what that might have sounded like. Here's some examples of some game they might have tried to catch. So, my pop filter fell off. So, here we have game that's being coerced in these, possibly in similar calls, similar patterns, which is why I hold to that kind of 8-note repetition. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We really have that kind of pattern here with those bird calls, and it just makes the most sense to me that they might have used this particular flute for that purpose. Doesn't mean I'm right. We don't have enough evidence to go on. And so, you know, it's really remarkable that God brought this about for us to understand this in this time, because it not only does it revolutionize Eastern music and the implications of its evolution, but it also begs the question of what interactions did the Natufian tribe have with other tribes, other nations at that time, other cities, depending on what was going on in their time, and what brought about this need for these flutes. You know, we don't know. But it's an incredible discovery, and it's something that you know, I had to share, because, I mean, it goes without saying that, you know, here's a tribe that for however long, prior to Israel and the patriarchs and Yehovah and Yeshua and the Malachot, the angels working with them, you know, were just living their lives as best they knew how. prior to the gospel of salvation, prior to the understanding of all nations coming to Abraham. And it really forces us, to those who live in a biblical kingdom worldview, to wrestle with the idea of where do they fit in the grander picture for all time. And those are answers that I don't have. But I appreciate that we have, you know, this evidence before us and what impact it will have in the years or the centuries or the generations to come, I really don't know. I'm just thankful that we have the evidence before us from 10 years of diligent research, blood, sweat, and tears, millions of dollars going into these digs to publish these papers, to get peer-reviewed, really speaks a lot to the fact that we're still trying to understand our origins, our human origins, be they in a biblical worldview or not. You know, we still have a lot to uncover, clearly. You know, we can't just say, well, before Israel there was Canaan and maybe Assyria and the Akkadians. No, there's a lot more going on here. A lot more going on here. A lot more, you know, than what we would speculate with the antediluvian world and the Nephilumps, the Nephilims, the Zamzuim, the Rephaim, all those creatures. So I just pray that you appreciate the research as it has come to us and praise God for it, because it is something new. It's something spectacular that we as believers can appreciate and, you know, give God the glory that these were preserved to understand who we are better in a biblical kingdom worldview and the musical implications of this discovery. If you'd like to find out more about your host, you can go to my official website at robertrandallmusic.com, where you can read my bio and see the various projects that I've worked on for with One Accord Ministries, as well as listen to my albums. My first album, That Perfect Moment, a solo piano relaxing album with background orchestration of original composition works, an EP, as well as my second album, which is a classical piano album called A Classical Baroque Musician, featuring some of the most well-known beloved classical pieces from three genres of classical composers, including Beethoven, Bach, Mozart, and Chopin. You can also find me on social music media on Soundbirth app, which allows musicians to collaborate as well as promote their music on Spotify and YouTube, and get advice from music managers on how to better their craft and their ability to be a better musician. You can also find me on bandlab.com at Robert Randall Music. You can also find me on soundtrap.com or the Soundtrap app. Robert Randall Music. Soundtrap is a digital audio workstation allowing for aspiring musicians to create audio content via loops or through live instruments, as well as connect with musicians all over the globe on the Skype platform and the chat platform to create works of art in music, as well as podcast content creation for distribution on the Spotify platform. Whether you're a solo musician, a band, or an aspiring content creator, Soundtrap is the platform for you. Also, if you're an educator wanting to teach your class using the creative arts, Soundtrap is also a great way to teach your students in a very fun and creative environment. Finally, brethren, we are not here without your precious prayers and financial support. To Heber Nation Radio, Intervision FM, and our podcast providers, Heber Nation Radio is a 501c3 ministry, a radio broadcast, and a bookstore, delivering the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom prophetically for our name, destiny, calling in the body of Christendom, and delivering the Torah to the nations, to those curious about the Hebraic roots of the Christian faith. Heber Nation Radio, building a nation, not a denomination, now reaches 1 million visitors every day on HeberNationOnline.com, on the Heber Nation app, as well as on the Heber Nation Online podcast, and the newest engagement in our mighty network's Heber Nation Online community. We'd like to thank Roland and the crew for all that they've done to support Holy Worship. You can also listen to Holy Worship as an individual podcast on whatever podcast platform that you get your podcast provided on. If you enjoy Holy Worship, the Music of the Bible, please consider making a donation at the link included at every podcast description of every episode on the podcast to keep us going with our podcast provider on Anchor.fm. We'd also like to thank Johnny Johnson and crew at Intervision.fm for also broadcasting our podcast every Friday at 5:30 p.m. on Intervision.fm. Intervision.fm is an online radio station broadcasting us on KINV-DB Internet Radio on Live 365 on the 365 app and website for Internet Radio. Intervision.fm recently won the 2021 Denver honoree of the Mayor's Award for Excellence in the Arts and Culture. And that has been an award that's been presented since 1986. You can find Johnny Johnson and crew on YouTube or on various Denver TV networks, as well as on Intervision.fm. And listen to their radio station and watch their YouTube show as well every Wednesday. Thank you so much, guys, for allowing Holy Worship to be broadcast on Intervision FM. It is a unique opportunity as well for those who are in the blind and visually impaired community and those with various disabilities to be able to learn the ability to broadcast their content, be it music or podcasting, on online radio. And Intervision FM works with its mission to educate people with disabilities to have a voice in the Denver community. So we thank Intervision FM for all that they're doing, especially for someone who resonates with their vision to help people with disabilities to have a voice, not only for the gospel of Christ, but for those seeking to have a voice through the soul and operation of music. And thank you, everyone, for listening today. And I hope that you have a blessed Sabbath. And until next time, I'm Robert Randall, signing out. Be blessed, everyone.